today on Real Radio.
The Bible declares to us that when we as New Testament believers, we don't go out and preach the law to bring about salvation in someone's life. We preach Jesus, Paul says. Now, if they're stubborn, if they're arrogant, if they're prideful, and they're saying, I'm not a sinner, I don't need any help, then you go to the law.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Good Church Business, continues a series now called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their mission was to spread the gospel, and their passion was for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and to disciple those who are already saved. In the message called Don't Close the Door, we learned in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, that salvation is offered through Jesus Christ to the Gentiles the same way it is offered for the Jews. The Apostle Peter reminds us of this while Paul reports on the present, and also that it's Christ's love that we are all about. Finally, James relates it all to a hope of the future. Now in Acts chapter 15, verses 19 through 35, we'll see what good church business is and how it works. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that as a church grows in numbers, the first order of business is to clarify strict religion versus a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Keeping the rules and regulations doesn't save us, but there are still believers of Christ that are trying to live bound by the law and not by grace. And now in his lesson called Good Church Business, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Acts chapter 15 this morning, verses 19 to 35. Acts 15, verse 19. Scripture says there, James speaking, says, therefore I judge that we should not be troubling those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has, throughout many generations, those who preach him in every city being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was surnamed, or whose name was also Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles and the elders and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted the brethren with many words and strengthened them. And after they had stayed there for a while, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And so this morning we come to this place that as we've been going verse by verse through the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 15, we've seen what arose out of verse 1, that there were certain brethren coming from the Jerusalem church stating to the new Gentile believers, they said, you must keep the law and be circumcised if you're going to be saved. Now, I want you to understand something. These guys who came down from Jerusalem, they were not evil in their intent. These guys were absolutely sincere. In fact, in one of the scriptures, we understand that they were Pharisees who had been converted to Jesus Christ. So before we get on these guys, and I know that I have a tendency, when it's due, to really get on the Pharisee for his hypocrisy. These guys are born-again Pharisees who have come out of Judaism. And you got to realize that they are defenders of the Bible. In fact, they're not so bad. It is the Pharisee of old who believed in the resurrection of the dead when the Sadducees didn't. It was the Pharisees of old who believed in the authenticity of the Scripture, that the Bible was God's spoken word and written word. And so the Pharisees had a lot of great attributes and they had a lot of great strengths as long as they completed their knowledge by coming to faith in Jesus. And these guys who in Acts 15:1 came down out of Jerusalem and imposing upon the Gentile believers, they were stating what they believed to be true. You've got to be circumcised and you've got to keep the law if you're going to be saved. But the Gentiles hadn't heard of such things. And you need to understand this morning that when we read the Bible, you've got to realize, listen carefully, very many popular TV guys right now on your Christian TV station, they don't understand and they teach false doctrine. When you do not distinguish clearly between the church and Israel as it is in Scripture, there's a great difference. The law was given to Israel. The Bible declares to us that when we as New Testament believers, we don't go out and preach the law to bring about salvation in someone's life. We preach Jesus, Paul says. Now, if they're stubborn, if they're arrogant, if they're prideful and they're saying, I'm not a sinner, I don't need any help, then you go to the law. But the law doesn't save anyone, and that's what we've been coming through. We've been seeing that. Very important. But what we've come to now is a great church business meeting, to be honest with you. In fact, the title of the message this morning is Good Church Business. Good Church Business. And I was really torn between the titles. It was either Good Church Business or Living Right in a Wrong World. Maybe both of them apply. So listen up carefully, because it certainly does apply. Last week, we saw in verses 1 to 5 that there was a friction between strict religion and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we learned also that salvation was to come to the Jew, just like it did come to the Gentile, and that is through grace. We saw the great defense that, first of all, Peter gave in verses 6 through 11, reminding them of the past, that God had spoken in the past that he would save the Gentiles. We saw Paul and Barnabas' great report in verse 12 of last week, the defense being made. And then James, who we come in on is speaking still this morning, James relates to all that was going on with the Gentiles being saved and the Jews coming to faith in Christ, that it was all a future work. He, quoting Amos chapter 9, says that God would work with the Gentiles. And so now we come to a great impasse, so to speak. We've got believers in Jesus who are legalistic. By the way, you know, there are many of what we're going to read about this morning living in our own communities. And they're going to be going to heaven with us. Some very legalistic, some perhaps very liberal. But the point is, all of us coming to the knowledge of the grace and truth that's in Jesus Christ. So what's the church to do? My goodness, this very first meeting that's recorded in Acts 15, the result of the meeting has everything to do with what you believe on and what you believe in this morning. Very important. So what are we to do? We are to conduct ourselves with good church business. And we're going to see this morning on how it works and how we ought to conduct ourselves in the world. First of all, note this, that growth in the church causes problems. I bumped into a gal this week who goes to this church. She serves mightily. I said, how's it going? And she's going, wiping sweat from her brow. Oh, it's going great, I guess. We've got 213 women going to the women's retreat, and it's just so much work. Well, you know what? I hear that God is blessing the women's ministry like unbelievable stuff. And it's really just doing great things. It's one of the real leading ministries within this church. And I said to her, well, you know what God does? Whenever he is leading and guiding and he blesses something, he rewards you with more responsibility, with more work. It's the way God does things. We think in our minds, we've grown up this way. Well, you know, gosh, I've put in 55 hours this week or 75 hours this week. I think I'm going to put my feet up. It's Sunday morning. After all, I'm going to live this day for me. And God says, no, you know what? You've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you faithful in more things, in greater things. But serving Jesus Christ never wears us out. We never become pooped out. And pooped out is a Greek word for, I'm kidding. But we don't run down when we serve him. We certainly run down when we serve the world. But not him. But growth, when God is at work in a church, creates problems. But the problems are opportunities for God to work through us. It is not some kind of an inconvenience. God wants to mold us into what the church ought to be. And he's doing that with you personally. Isn't it amazing as we look across this place this morning and as we'll go through the various services this morning, by the end of the day, the fact of the matter will be that God is working in your life to bring you about into being a Christian that is going to benefit the church as a whole. Paul the Apostle says, no man lives and no man dies into himself. And so the church is going to be learning this morning. And we're going to be looking at some interesting things. First of all, last week, it is said there by Peter in verse 11 concerning salvation. He says, it is that through grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we shall be saved in the same manner as they, that is the Gentiles. And this is Christian doctrine. And so if you're taking notes this morning, we are going to deal with two issues that are found in these verses from verses really 18 to verse 35 this morning. So listen carefully. Very important. The first thing is, a decision was made by the church council, by the church business meeting regarding salvation. Follow along with me. And we really need to drop back to verse 18. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge, James says, that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. I love verse 18. James makes this sweeping statement. Known to God from eternity are all his works. You know what? The God that you serve this morning is omniscient. He knows all things. He knows everything. I thank God that we are not serving the little g God of the Jehovah Witnesses, or the little God of Mormonism, or the little God of the New Age, or the little God of some other mess. Our God is so great and so awesome. God is the God of the Bible, capital G. He's the one and only, that you can't figure him out all the way. He's not some glorified man. He is eternal God who it was a great miracle for him to come and be come down to earth and become a man. He's not some exalted man as Mormonism teaches. He is not some spirit, some spook that Jehovah Witnesses teach about. Our God is the eternal creator. He knows all things. That attribute of his is called his omniscience. He knows all. In Psalm 94, verse 11, the Bible says that the Lord knows our thoughts, the thoughts of every man, and that they are futile. Isn't that funny? Get a great idea. Maybe you work for JPL. I had a tour of JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. And my dad's cousin has retired from there recently. If you've ever seen Nova or any of those programs, there's a guy on there by the name of Albert Hibbs. He's an incredible brain, and he's senior engineer at Jet Propulsion Laboratory. I missed out on the brain department of that man, but I took a tour of that, and he's got plaques, and he's got his picture every which way, and pretty impressive, pretty neat. But when those guys who are paid an exorbitant amount of money to think of a great idea, God says, ha, futile. Hey, we just found out that the system is moving this way and that the earth is not the center of the universe now. God says, ha, futile. He knows all along. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 14, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Isn't that great news? He remembers that we're dust. We go to the health clubs to try to get pumped up and buffed, you know. What a crack up. You notice all those mirrors around those health clubs? You don't look too bad in those mirrors. And you come home, you don't look as good. What, I think those mirrors are hypocrite mirrors or something. They just make you look like, hey, I must be getting my money's worth. That's a joke. We're but dust. We stand in the mirror and look, oh man, I'm losing a couple pounds. I'm getting buff. And the Lord says, you're a clod. You're but dust. You're dirt. He knows our thoughts. He knows our frame. God knows all things. Listen carefully. Known from the beginning are all of God's works. He knows them all. Listen, Jack, you might say, if God knows all things, then why did he create Adam and Eve in the first place? He knew that they were going to sin in the garden, so why didn't he prevent it? Why did all this have to happen? That's a great question, and a lot of people ask that question. The relationship issue is the question. God knew all along, listen carefully, parents, God knew all along that his children were going to fail him in the Garden of Eden. He knew before they were ever created that Adam and Eve were going to sin. And that his son would go to the cross and die for them. So, question is, why didn't God do something about it? If God is God, let him fix the thing. First of all, he is God. And the fact of the matter is, he knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin. But that doesn't negate the desire that God wants with you and God has for you, and that is fellowship. True love must come out of true desire. He could have put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden like little wind-up dolls, and they would have said, I love you, God. You turned me on. No. He created within us the sovereignty of choice. And he, knowing that Adam and Eve would sin, he still created them so that he might have relationship. In Ephesians chapter 2, which I believe is the answer to that question, verses 4 through 5, actually 4 through 7, it says, because God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he has loved us, even while we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, he's made us alive together in Christ. For by grace you have been saved and raised up together with him. Listen carefully. Verse 7, Ephesians 2. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. That's why God tolerated the fall in the Garden of Eden, that in all the ages to come, he might display his grace. And Peter says to the council, hey, Jew and Gentile, get saved by grace. It's by the grace of God. Thursday night, I was at Home Depot picking up something, and I was at the special orders counter, and I'm standing there, and the lady's helping me, and this little kid comes up. He must have been 4 years old, 5 years old max. He came up and he goes, I'm lost. And she picks him up and sets him on the counter, and she looks at him. She goes, what's your name? He goes, Tyler. And she goes, okay, Tyler, let me see. What color are your eyes? And he goes, blue. And she goes, okay, I'll call your parents. And he goes, can I have some candy? That tipped me off right then and there. So she gets on the announcement, and she says, you know, to the entire store, there's some lost parents, and they need to find their son, Tyler. And he's right here at the counter, so come up and get him. And the little guy's there, and he's chomping on the candy and all this stuff, and he seemed a little too comfortable for me. But anyway, I kind of think the kid knows how to get candy at stores doing this. But anyway, the parents showed up, and the mother walked up, and she goes, oh, I see you found him. And I looked at her. She seemed kind of disappointed that they had found him. And she said, oh, he does this a lot. Well, after I got done doing my thing, I walked out of the store, and they were in line. And I walked out of the store, and this kid's out in the parking lot, tootling around, and couldn't believe it. Listen, parents, knowing what you know of your children, would you bring them into the world again a second time? Don't let your kids see you shake your head no. You got to think about it. Gee, did we really bring you into the world? And will we do it again? God loves you so much that when he brought Adam and Eve into the world, even though the sin came into the garden, the fall had happened, God says, I'd do it all again. It's a relationship. He knows all things. And the decision that was first made was regarding salvation. It says in verse 19, therefore, James says, I judge. The word in the Greek means it is my opinion. I have decided. What do you guys think, basically? And I firmly believe, according to 1 Corinthians 12:8, that James is exercising the gift of wisdom by the Holy Spirit, a gift that is viable and a gift that people have in this body today. the gift of wisdom. He says, listen, I judge that we should not trouble, agitate those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. What a wonderful statement. The word means there are Gentiles turning. They're changing the path that they're living on, and they're going to follow God now. They've heard the message. They're going to follow God. And James is saying, I've decided that we ought to leave these guys alone. And James is a heavy-duty Jew, the half-brother of Jesus Christ himself, son of Joseph and Mary. And he says, I think we ought to leave these guys alone. Let them follow the Lord. By the way, it's a wonderful thing in church business when God's in charge. When God's in charge, it's a theocracy. When man's in charge, it's an atrocity.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Good Church Business. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that everything you do and all the decisions you make glorify Jesus Christ. Good Church Business is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. The highest that can be said of any creation is that it fulfilled the purpose for which God made it. That's a quote from author A.W. Tozer, and it comes from October's book of the month called I Talk Back to the Devil. Pastor Jack chose I Talk Back to the Devil because we can't move forward as Christians when we're haunted by the spiritual failures of our past. One of the devil's oldest tricks is to discourage us, intimidate us, and deceive us into thinking that we're less than children of God. So, as we press toward maturity in Christ, we need to arm ourselves with the power of the Holy Spirit. That way we can take a stand against these attacks while reminding ourselves that there is forgiveness and cleansing that only comes from Jesus Christ. Again, October's book of the month is I Talk Back to the Devil by A.W. Tozer. It's available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, when you get a chance, go over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our website, of course, and there's a very special tab there. It's the Know God tab. Know God. You know, if there's somebody in your life that you want to kind of explain your relationship with the Lord to, and you don't have the words, you don't have exactly what you want to say, tell that person to go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. As a matter of fact, just get your phone out, get your tablet out, and go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Know God tab. It's a great resource. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And by the way, you know, we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. One way Pastor Jack is sharing the gospel to the world is on YouTube. Some of his latest videos include a Q&A on how can we avoid isolation, the ever-present Jesus Christ from 1 Peter, the Lord knows from Isaiah 57. And if you'd love to dive into Bible prophecy, some of the Happening Now episodes with Don Stewart, boy, they were great. They were live on Facebook, and they're available right now, too. There are also many topics to choose from, along with some upcoming videos called Engage the Culture. You can access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Just search for Real Life with Jack Hibbs on YouTube. And remember to subscribe to his channel and push on notifications for his most recent videos. You can also access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel when you visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in Eternal Impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.